Is this your night?
I just want to win.
There have been plenty of people that I doubted me.
How great can I be?
Is this your calling?
Put your mind to it, you can do
it. I'm going
to
give them everything I have and play as long as I can.
It's time to find the missing piece.
The NFL draft is now officially open. This guy's electric.
Matt Jones airing it out.
What a throw.
I'm ready to roll, and hopefully the team will take that opportunity with me.
Ja'Marr Chase has it for a touchdown.
Are you kidding me? Touchdown,
Cougar! You know, I'm going to give it everything I have. Because I only have one shot.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Lexus. And this is it. This is the day. This is the walk that these prospects will take out onto the stage here in Cleveland to greet the commissioner, to find out what's going to happen in their futures. NFL teams will be built tonight. The next chapters of storied organizations will be written. And these players taking those first steps out on this stage to become NFL stars. You see the audience. You see those open seats. That's where fans will be. We've got fans back at the draft, and many of them milling about out here. It is rainy, but they don't care. They're out and about, ready to see who ends up being picked by their teams. That's a big story here in Cleveland as we get you ready for a huge night of drama. There's drama at 3 and at 4, 7, 8, 9. What will happen when those picks are in, when the chimes ding? That's music to my ears. I don't know about you guys. We welcome you here. We're finally here. We finally made it to night one of the 2021 NFL Draft.
Go!
Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, we've got Dan Orlovsky, I'm Laura Rutledge. We're joined by so many others as we carry on here for the next 2 hours leading into the rest of the draft coverage on ESPN and ABC. And let's begin with those top five picks, because so much intrigue, at least around the latter part of the top five. You see it right there, Jacksonville at 1, and we're expecting to see Trevor Lawrence certainly there at 2. You would think Zach Wilson, 3 quarterbacks coming off the board in the top 3. That would mark just the 3rd time that's happened in the common draft era since 1967. We're covered across the league with team reporters. Jeff Darlington with the Jaguars in that first pick. Sal Palantonio with the Jets in the second pick. Dan Graziano with the 49ers. That fascinating 3 pick. Let's start with Jacksonville and Jeff. Trevor Lawrence expected to go number 1. How does that impact the team's overall draft approach? And Jeff may not be hearing us. So we're now going to go to Sal Palantonio at number 2. What's the Jets' approach?
Well, the Jets' approach is very simple. They have been inundated with trade offers for weeks. Teams trying to get up to number 2, but they have rebuffed all of them. Main reason why? Because Zach Wilson reminds the Jets a lot in similar traits to Aaron Rodgers. The ability to move so fluidly. The ability to have an easy arm that has velocity, trajectory on the football, accuracy on the football, but move outside of the pocket and make plays on the run with accuracy. And Mike LaFleur, as you know, is the new offensive coordinator of the Jets under Robert Saleh. His brother is Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, the head coach who coaches Aaron Rodgers. So they have rebuffed all trade offers. They are settled on Zach Wilson as the new generation of New York Jets quarterback, the franchise quarterback of the future of Jets Nation. Now here's Dan Graziano with that number 3 pick and the San Francisco 49ers. Happy draft day, Dan.
Thanks, Sal. I was hoping you'd have one of your newspapers, but I was hoping it would be tomorrow's newspaper, because we're all still waiting to find out who the San Francisco 49ers are going to take with that number 3 pick. They're keeping us all in suspense. My understanding is that it came down to Alabama's Mac Jones or North Dakota State's Trey Lance. Jones was the favorite of head coach Kyle Shanahan early in this process, but from what I understand, Lance did everything the Niners asked of him and impressed at every turn during the past month. There are people in the 49ers building who have been pushing for Lance as the choice at number 3. The question, Laura, is whether they were able to change Kyle Shanahan's mind.
Yeah, there's been no shortage of opinions about what the 49ers should do with the draft and the 3rd overall pick. Let's go to Jeff Darlington. We'll try you one more time, Jeff. Can you hear us? And what do you got on Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Laura, I was so stunned by Adam Schefter's report that Tim Tebow is apparently trying out for the tight end position. Yes, I'm serious about that report, that I got completely thrown off. But in all seriousness, the Jaguars understand that it doesn't, you know, it begins and ends with the quarterback position. And certainly we know Trevor Lawrence is on that radar. But beyond that, they recognize they've got to build a team around that position. And they believe they've already started to do so in the form of an offensive coordinator in Darrell Bevell, who they think can really groom that young quarterback, in Marvin Jones, a veteran wide receiver who has a great understanding of this league and that offense. Now, they do hold picks 25 and 33. We could see them continue to build around, presumably, Lawrence with that pick. But this is a team that understands they've got a lot of needs to fill, and they've got a young quarterback that they need to groom in the process.
Yeah, Jeff, once again, the real interesting point is that number three pick. Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields all put up tremendous numbers in college. And while there's plenty of talk about Lance's lack of experience, he has just as many starts as Jones and only five fewer than Fields. It's important to point out the biggest difference may be that Jones and Fields both played full seasons in 2020, aired the ball out more often as well, which some of that, obviously, Trey Lance can't control himself. Dan, you've got two guys in Mac Jones and Trey Lance with wildly different skill sets.
Right.
If you're the 49ers, how do you go about making this type of decision?
Yeah, I think my past tells me the pick is going to be Mac Jones. The future tells me the pick is going to be Trey Lance. You know, and right when this news came out that San Francisco went to three, you guys, we were on television, I believe. I was like, this is for Mac Jones. And I've remained steadfast in that. But my brain has also gone back to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And I think of the Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl, and I think of that three-jet chip wasp that was a good play call, that Patrick Mahomes made a great play call. 11-step drop, ball goes down the field, right? A couple minutes later in that football game, Kyle Shanahan made the perfect play design, called the perfect play call at the perfect moment versus the perfect coverage, the deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders, and his guy misses it. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm sitting there waiting, going, wait, they had an okay play call and it was a great play. I had a great play call and it was a bad play, you know? And,
yeah.
And I wonder if that's kind of festered in his mind over the last month. At the end of the day, the question for San Francisco and for Kyle Shanahan is, are we quarterback developers or am I a great offensive mind? Because I think he's a great offensive mind. And if he's a great offensive mind, he takes Mac Jones. If you're a great quarterback developer, which I don't believe they are and have proven to be, then it's Trey Lance. At the end of the day, I believe this pick stays Mac Jones.
Well, it's also how much variance are they willing to put up with? Because with Mac Jones, I think we all agree, the floor is high. The ceiling might be kind of low. Whereas with Trey Lance, this is what it looks like. Like, the floor could be there, but the ceiling could be all the way through the roof. And that's what's so alluring
about
him.
I want to push on that a little bit. Why do you think the floor is not higher for Mac Jones?
Because Mac Jones' strength is accuracy.
Yeah.
It's anticipation, right? Athleticism and arm strength are the things that are missing. You can't improve those things. With Trey Lance, the athleticism is there, the arm strength is there, the accuracy has been scattershot. Mentally, he's up there as well, by the way, by all accounts.
Yes.
When you watch North Dakota State football, you see a lot of the similar concepts you see in San Francisco, the under center play action. He boots out more than the other quarterback in the draft. The problem is occasionally the ball placement is all over the place.
Right.
He can improve that. Mac Jones cannot improve his arm strength and his accuracy, or pardon me, his athleticism.
Right.
So the floor is high already because of the accuracy, but if I'm San Francisco, I'm asking, do we want to bet on the quarterback with the higher ceiling? Undeniably, Trey Lance.
Well, y'all know where I am. Like, San Francisco, to your point, got to ask themselves if we want kind of the same as we've been, right? Maybe an upgrade in accuracy, an upgrade in making that one throw in the Super Bowl. But, I cannot get away from the fact that when we sat and watched the playoffs, it was only one pocket passer in it.
Yeah.
It was one. It was, like, I know Phillip Rivers was in there and he lost to Josh Allen. And Josh Allen used his legs in that game. Lamar Jackson, you look at like Patrick Mahomes, you think about all of these guys that we've seen for the successful trait.
Right.
Now, everybody's going to throw, well, it was Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the league.
Right.
And he was the one pocket passer in this league in the playoffs that you felt like his team had a chance to win. And even him, he couldn't win in spite of, he won because of that defense.
It's a fair question. San Francisco, do you want to make a mistake on athleticism or make a mistake on accuracy? Because the athleticism is the mistake for Mac, but the accuracy would be the mistake for Lance.
Yeah,
and they also won the NFC Championship throwing the ball 8 times.
That's true. And the other thing, if you really look at who they've got now and you're talking about upgrades, Jimmy G's had a problem staying healthy. He's only been able to start 25 of 48 possible games over the last 3 seasons.
True that.
Let's get Adam Schefter in here with a little more on this pick. What do we think is going to happen here, Adam, as they target whoever they're targeting with that number 3 pick? Should we keep an eye on Jimmy Garoppolo in his future in San Francisco tonight?
Well, here's what's going on with that, Laura. In the words of one source I spoke to this morning, he said the chances are, quote unquote, remote that the 49ers will wind up dealing Jimmy Garoppolo during this draft. Now, that always could change. Things happen during the draft that we don't see. But the issue is that the 49ers don't mind holding on to Jimmy Garoppolo and having him quarterback a team that they believe is playoff ready this season before handing off that team to the rookie quarterback they draft tonight in 2022. Other teams see Jimmy Garoppolo and aren't willing to give up the compensation that they're looking for right now that would make the 49ers want to trade him. And so there's a standoff there. Maybe one side or both sides will give in to make a trade feasible and possible. But it certainly doesn't seem like that will be the case. And it looks like right now the plan is to hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo despite the fact that the 49ers will pick a quarterback, the unnamed quarterback, at number 3 tonight.
Keep getting closer and closer to this draft. Go ahead, Adam. You had something else.
Yeah, Laura, when we come back, I'm going to have some breaking news for you.
Oh, what a tease. Oh, my goodness. Okay, on that
God
note,
bless
yes,
this man.
And just wait until we see what that
the
is.
Goats.
I'm not even sure what it is. On that note, we'll go to Diana Russini with some developing news, a developing story, Diana. We're now just hours away. I'm sorry, Diana. That Schefter bomb just came in there. What's the latest you're hearing with the Saints?
Every single person at home is like, get this chick off the air right now. We want to hear Adam Schefter. We want Adam. We all want Adam. Okay, but Adam, he knows all about this report, but I'll share it with you. So here's what I've learned over the last few hours, guys. The New Orleans Saints are working very hard to get into the top 10. They've actually been making calls over the last 3 or 4 days, trying to gauge who'd be willing to trade back. I was told those top 4 spots most likely are not moving for them, right? So that leaves the bottom half of that top 10 pretty much in terms of an opportunity for New Orleans. So what are they going for? You think Sean Payton, you think quarterback, right? But he's told us this whole time, he loves Jameis, he loves Taysom. We can make this work. We can win with them. I was told they're not going for a quarterback unless one of them, and they have their eye on one of them, is able to drop. And they love this guy. Otherwise, they're trying to move up for an entirely different position. Mickey Loomis has made a lot of trades on draft day before to move up to get valuable, valuable players. So what I can gauge here, New Orleans is in on this all hands on deck mentality right now. They got to try to get in.
Yeah, Diana, it's really interesting. Mina, when you think about who they may be going up for, the Saints, to try to get in the top 10 and that position, what would make sense for you?
Well, first I'll say, if it is the quarterback they're waiting to fall, I'm guessing it's Mac Jones, given what we see out of that offense. But setting that aside, corner and wide receiver are the two needs on this team, having lost Emmanuel Sanders and Janoris Jenkins. I doubt since he's going to be willing to part ways or Miami with their guys. So I'm guessing you're looking at Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle or J.Z. Horn and Patrick Surtain II.
Yeah, I like it. Defense or offense just adds a lot to a team that's already really good.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
when Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Well, Laura, Aaron Rodgers has told certain members of the organization that he does not want to return to the Green Bay Packers. And this is an issue that has gone on throughout the course of the offseason, so much so that each of the Packers' main individual decision makers, the president, Mark Murphy, the head coach, Matt LaFleur, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, have each taken trips out west to go meet with Aaron Rodgers, to fly out and meet with him to see if they could change his mind and convince him to come back to Green Bay, which he does not want to do at this point in time. But to date, Aaron Rodgers has not budged. And so we have a standoff here that nobody knows exactly where it's going. And thus, the 49ers called the Green Bay Packers last night, and the Packers said, we're not trading him. And the Los Angeles Rams called in January before they traded for Matthew Stafford to see if they would trade him, and they were told no. And a short time ago, basically the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, issued this statement. As we've stated since the season ended, we are committed to Aaron in 2021 and beyond. Aaron has been a vital part of our success, and we look forward to competing for another championship with him leading our team. But the fact of the matter is, there are other members of the organization that don't know if and when Aaron Rodgers will show back up in Green Bay. He's going through a lot of change in his life right now. He's engaged to be married. He hosted Jeopardy during the offseason, has a lot of hopes, a lot of different dreams, and I don't think he's particularly happy right now being in Green Bay. And I think this dates back, ironically enough, to the draft last year, when not only did the Green Bay Packers draft a quarterback, but they traded up to draft a quarterback. And not only did they trade up to draft a quarterback, but they didn't tell him in advance that they were drafting a quarterback. And obviously, we've seen a lot of cryptic comments from Aaron Rodgers from the time the season ended to now. But it's a situation where essentially he's not happy in Green Bay. There is a standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers that has gone on to now, and we don't know how this is going to wind up.
Adam, it's absolutely remarkable. And to your point, as we hear this breaking news that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay and is trying to force his way out, according to Adam's sources, I can't help but think back to our shock when Jordan Love was drafted last year. And Marcus, I'll start with you and your reaction, because you've been saying ever since then that he was going to want to get out. So tell us more about apparently
how you knew that.
I'm on there. Listen, man, y'all, I'm telling you, it was so clear and obvious to me when all of that transpired with Aaron Rodgers, and everybody was talking about, you know, me and Mina go back and forth about our cap stuff, and I get it, I understand it, but it's a few players in this league. When they say they want out, you have no choice.
Yeah.
And I felt like Aaron Rodgers eventually was going to get to that point. And another thing we have to remember as well, look what Tampa did.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is tired of seeing quarterbacks win Super Bowls,
right,
man. Like, so all of that stuff a culmination. And I said last year, to your point, Laura, Aaron Rodgers would want to get out of Green Bay. And that's what's happening, because he's watched all of his peers. He's watched organizations and teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints make all of these moves in order to put their Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a better situation to win games. And here you are. Here
Dan,
we go.
This is about Aaron Rodgers wanting to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's about respect as well. I think
yes.
It's about a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame, who's just the MVP, feels disrespected. And I respect to Brian Gutekunst. I don't know him. Aaron's not committed to you. You could be committed to Aaron right now, but he's not committed to you. And you should have been committed to Aaron Rodgers in last year's draft.
Weren't.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, like, you should have been committed to Aaron Rodgers in last year's draft. And Marcus is right. When you are that good, you get to dictate
Absolutely.
To the NFL where you want to go. And if I'm a team tonight, I'm making the call. Like, if I'm the New York Jets, I'm making the call.
Oh,
what
yes.
does it take to cost?
Well,
San Francisco, I'm making the call. Miami, I'm making the call. The Carolina Panthers, make the call. Because when you have a player who's not happy, he's powerful. Like, his people are powerful, and he's powerful. And at some point, the Packers are going to realize, like, wait, we might have messed this up. And I know Matt LaFleur, and I love him. But at some point, this went wrong, and it was when they took a quarterback last year and then a running back in the second round.
Mina, can Aaron Rodgers really dictate this to where a trade could happen tonight where he goes to a different team and the Packers get some sort of huge draft capital in return?
Yeah. Okay. So first I want to say something I've always said, which is Aaron Rodgers has every right to want out of Green Bay. They might say they're committed to him now, but you're absolutely right. They signaled that they were not committed to him when not only did they trade up for a quarterback to replace him, despite the fact that he had a ton of money left on his contract, they also drafted a running back in the second round. Both of those players are backups. So from an organizational standpoint, they messed up. Aaron Rodgers, totally understand where he's coming from. That said, Green Bay don't have to do anything. I mean, if they're willing to actually go toe-to-toe with him and see if he's willing to hold out, they can do that. So I know you don't like it when I bring up the money, but I'm going to bring up the money.
The money matters.
It's really important. The money does matter. Okay, so pre-June 1st, if they were to trade him, it would be a substantial cap hit. Post June 1st, which means you can take the money and spread it out over the following years, it actually is not that bad, about $14 million this year. So it becomes a little bit more reasonable. I think if they turn down pick 3, nothing's going to be worth it to them at this point.
But at some point, what do you mean? What is worth it to them matter? Because I don't believe they have all the power. I believe that Aaron has the power. Because here's the thing.
Let me ask you this. Do you think he would hold out?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do.
Okay. Well, then he does.
I think Aaron would hold out. I do.
And that is the reason I always say it matters who you are. Not only has he already made a boatload of money, not only has he already had a tremendous amount of success.
Jeopardy.
Aaron Rodgers knows that he holds the keys right now to the Green Bay Packers
franchise.
And
you want to be the general manager and the head coach that held his feet to the fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be the general manager and head coach that let Aaron Rodgers walk out the door?
They already made that choice last year.
I know, but I'm saying, okay, if he's willing to hold out, you're right. He does have the power. When we were talking about Russell Wilson earlier this year, and I kept saying this is a dumb conversation. He's not. It's because I truly believed Russell Wilson was never going to hold out. Deshaun Watson, other hand, I thought, yeah, he might actually do it. If we think Aaron Rodgers is willing to sit out, then yes.
I can't imagine, MK, him saying this and not already putting that into the equation.
Yeah.
Just like Deshaun, just like you remember when we talked about Russell Wilson? I said, Russ, you need to say exactly what you want. Right? Because he has that type of cachet in the NFL.
You're right.
The difference is
we just hit that point with Aaron Rodgers.
To the point. Yeah. You gotta be willing to and it's only everybody pay attention. It's only rich guys and great quarterbacks doing these things.
Yeah.
Period. That has a lot to do with it. If Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson in his situation, Patrick Mahomes, all guys like that, it's only a few that if they say I want out, you have no choice.
And here's where I disagree a little bit with you when it comes to is he willing to hold out is the key aspect of it.
Yeah, I believe it is.
I think the key aspect is when the organization or if the organization says that relationship is beyond repair. You know, like because once the organization sits there, Shefty said people have flown out west to go meet with them. If that has happened in the past 2 months and the report gets sent out today, that means that those relationships or those visits didn't have any impact.
We don't know when that happened. This could all be happening right now.
But the report is coming today. So those visits didn't have any impact. So the key for me is if the organization sits there as a group and says, all right, the relationship is beyond repair. And again, there's no point in trading him in July.
Right.
You got the draft tonight. You got people with capital and assets tonight.
But apparently they said no to 3. Sorry.
Well, and again, I mean, Mina, your point of they could save significant money if they trade him after June 1st. But, if this doesn't happen tonight from the standpoint of gaining capital, if it's going to happen anyway, which it seems like they're not going to be able to repair this with Aaron Rodgers, why not make something happen tonight? It needs to happen tonight,
listen,
right?
June 1, to your point, Mina, what you explained makes a ton of sense. And it's not too late.
Right.
Like, you can start getting that going, understanding you saving money. But for context, this is the league MVP. Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in the NFL last year.
50 touchdowns.
Went to the NFC Championship and is saying, I no longer want to be here. If going to the NFC Championship, if getting the money you want, if being in Green Bay and being the face of that franchise and all of the things that transpire isn't enough for you to play ball with that franchise, you're done. And Aaron Rodgers is done.
And Green Bay is saying, we don't want a third for him. So where are we?
They want some first-round player.
They're trying to maintain some sort of leverage here. Either way, when you think about it, I think it all goes back to what you said early on. The fact that Tom Brady called his shot, the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's a different situation. I get it because he's a free agent.
Sure.
But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers build a team around him that then goes and that very next year wins a Super Bowl, and they've signed the whole team back. They're going to go try to do it again. That's got to be in these Hall of Fame quarterbacks' minds. We've got to move. We're coming back to it. All right, Patrick Mahomes, speaking of, another great quarterback, has heard about this news, and he's tweeting out about it, saying that this is going to be really interesting over the next couple of days.
Hold up, Pat.
Mahomes says, well, I see draft weekend is going to be pretty interesting. By the way, Patrick
just sit
Mahomes,
with a half a billion and watch everything
I know. He's like, ha, ha, ha. He's very happy with his team, right? The Kansas City Chiefs have done quite good
organizations
things for him.
Learn.
Yeah, they do. All right, listen, I cut you off there for a good reason, which we'll get to in a second, but let me go back to you because you had something else to say.
I'm glad we brought the Mahomes tweet up.
Yeah.
Because didn't they sign Tooney and just brought in Orlando Brown?
Yeah,
they did.
They're
taking care of their guy.
Okay, like,
different time frames. I do want to object to the notion that Green Bay is done so poorly by Aaron Rodgers. He played behind the best offensive line in football. He has Devontae Adams, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I'm with you.
The defense, they've gone out and paid guys. They changed their defensive coordinator. I thought the last draft was a mistake. I've said that, but I just want to put my foot down there
Dan,
a little bit.
That's interesting. And I'm just wondering, like, what is Aaron Rodgers looking at across the landscape of the NFL and saying, I want to go to that team?
Well,
Which team is it that he wants to go to?
Yeah, that's why I think the New York Jets are an option, because it's going to be a very similar system. While Tom Brady went down to Tampa Bay last year, we know that during the middle of the season, that system became an issue. But I don't think that Aaron wants to go, you know what, I had a two-and-a-half-year run in this system that I started to play really good football. In this system, this scheme, this Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Matt LaFleur scheme, he just won MVP. So it is San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. It is the New York Jets. I don't think I would entertain that Joe Brady with the Carolina Panthers, who comes from New Orleans, who has a little bit of a scheme fit, would make a lot of sense. But a lot of this has to do with the male ego. The respect aspect. I totally believe it is a respect aspect.
100%.
And I think it will end up being about that field goal in the playoffs last year.
I mean, as a female who can't relate to the male ego necessarily, it's hard to think about giving up your entire situation,
which had you in the
NFC Championship for your ego. And I don't know that for sure, but that is an interesting point. All right, let's bring in Lewis Riddick with a little more. Of course, you can catch Lewis for all the draft coverage throughout the next couple days, but especially tonight. Lou, some big news here. What is your reaction from especially the GM standpoint and thinking about how much play and power Aaron Rodgers really has here?
Yeah, I think all general managers, Laura, know this. The only true recourse that players have, the only true avenue that players have in order to get what they want is really to just withhold their services. That's the only thing you can really do. And depending upon how powerful you are and how much your contribution to an organization means, that's what ultimately you're going to have to do, is you're going to have to say, hey, look, I'm going to play the game of who's going to blink first, and we're going to see what you wind up doing. So if you're Brian Gutekunst at this point, you're sitting there thinking, oh, boy, is this really something that Aaron is going to ultimately follow through with? And, you know, having talked to him during Monday Night Football this past year and just listening to how introspective this man is and how much he is at a place in his life where he really is kind of looking forward about what exactly is his legacy going to be, what exactly is important to him. I mean, he's a very deep thinker about these kind of things. I would, without a doubt, I would not be shocked if he looked at this ultimately and just said, hey, look, I'm not in control of my destiny here. And that doesn't sit well with me. As someone who is probably the ultimate alpha who wants to be in control of everything, I'm not in control of ultimately where I wind up playing and what winds up happening with my career. After all that I've done, I have to sit now and wait and see whether or not they feel as though Jordan Love is ready to play. And then when he's ready to play, and then they look at my contract, and if it makes sense for them to move on down the road, then they tell me when my time is up? No. I'll tell you when my time is up. or at least I'll try to. So now it's just a high-stakes game of poker. Who's going to blink first? And we'll just see now. Now, I've lost you with my IFB, Laura, so you can't talk back to me because I can't hear anything right now.
Oh, man. Well, I love the point, Lou, and we'll try to get your audio back because I wanted to follow up with Lewis on whether or not he thought that Aaron Rodgers would actually sit out. So we'll get Lou back and we'll ask him that question. But, Marcus, when you hear what Lewis had to say about the introspective part of Aaron Rodgers, I think that's really key here. Remember all the things he said. We've thought it was kind of vague, right? He said, I don't control my destiny or everything's a beautiful mystery going forward. That's one of my favorite Rodgers quotes that he's put out. But how much of that in him thinking to himself, I do want to dictate where I go, factors in here.
As long as I'm on television and airwaves, all right, if dudes don't say anything, I'm not responding to it. Aaron Rodgers has finally said something. Yes. Just like we had the conversation about the roller coaster. And I was like, y'all, it's a beautiful mystery, the vagueness, just like with Russell Wilson, the vagueness.
Yeah.
These dudes don't have to be vague. Mm. These type of players, they do not have to try to make us figure out what they're thinking or what they're trying to do. And I believed this a while back, as we talked about. But now that Aaron Rodgers has said it, it's no surprise to me that it's real. Like, you could see all of these tea leaves and these breadcrumbs leading to that. You the league MVP, you the top quarterback in the NFL, and your future is a beautiful mystery?
Right.
In what world?
Yeah.
Every year I played in the NFL, DeMarcus Ware never had to worry about if the Cowboys wanted him.
Right.
He never did because he was that type of player. Tony Romo never came to a training camp saying, man, I wonder if Jerry and Wade or Jason Garrett is thinking about bringing a young guy.
Right.
No. Those type of guys don't live in the same NFL that most guys live in.
Okay. This is a football show, so let's talk about this from a football perspective 1 second. Rather than psychoanalyzing Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, realistically, there are not many situations that are better than Green Bay. Now we heard from Adam Schefter's report, the Rams and Niners are teams he's either talked to or they reach out to him. Who knows? Makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are some damn good football teams. But the teams you mentioned, Carolina, the Jets, winning a Super Bowl.
What about Miami?
Okay, Miami's interesting. I like that. I like where we're going here. All right. How many teams can he actually win a Super Bowl with?
It may be a team that play in Louisiana that just lost a Hall of Fame.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's just keep throwing out every team possible. Why not?
That's a realistic
thing. It's a beautiful mystery for us, too. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here. Of course, once again, we're here in Cleveland at the NFL draft. We're just hours away from the draft, and this breaking news has come down from Adam. So just remind us once again, Adam, exactly what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Well, Laura, it's breaking today, but the truth of the matter is it's been going on throughout the course of the offseason. Aaron Rodgers not being pleased about being in Green Bay and not wanting to go back there. Packers are aware of this, of course. They've had three separate officials make three separate trips out to visit with him to try to talk to him and have conversations about returning to Green Bay. You had at one point in time Mark Murphy fly out to meet with Aaron Rodgers. You had Brian Kutikins, the general manager, go out and meet with Aaron Rodgers. You had the head coach, Matt LaFleur, go out and meet with Aaron Rodgers. They've offered to extend his contract in an effort to bring him back, to placate him. So far, it has not worked. The Packers offseason virtual program began April 19th. Aaron Rodgers was not a part of it. The other players were. Now, some people say, not a big deal. A lot of veterans don't participate in the offseason program. But I think with everything going on with Aaron Rodgers, it's of note. And again, the timing is such that the Packers were aware of this all offseason. But it's a difficult spot to be in because the draft is tonight. What do you do? Last year, they drafted the quarterback. And I think that also was the trigger for a lot of Aaron Rodgers' unhappiness. As we mentioned, they not only drafted a quarterback, they traded up to draft a quarterback, and they didn't tell Aaron Rodgers at the time that they were drafting somebody to replace him. Some people took that as a sign that his days in Green Bay could be numbered. And so you also have the personal side to this. He's going through personal change. He got engaged over the new year to a woman who works as an actress. And so, again, when anybody's starting a new life at a new point in time, they have decisions to make. And right now, Aaron Rodgers hasn't budged. Now, again, it's not like he's gone to the Packers and said, I'm not coming back, trade me. He has told people within the organization, I'm not going back there. Now, whether he does that or doesn't do that, We will see. The Packers have been steadfast that they're not going to trade him. They've been approached by teams dating back to January when the Los Angeles Rams called them to inquire about the availability of Aaron Rodgers, and they were quickly dismissed at that point in time. The 49ers called the Packers last night, didn't make an offer, just reached out, talked, but obviously the Packers have made it clear to anybody that would call that they are not interested and not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. We should also point out that there's never been an MVP in the NFL who's been traded the season after he won the NFL MVP. And the only two MVPs in the NFL in history who have won the MVP one year and then not played for that team the next were Norm Van Brocklin in 1960 and Jim Brown in 1965, which this city in Cleveland knows a little bit about. But the bottom line to the whole situation is Aaron Rodgers is not happy with the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers don't know what to do about it right now, and we don't know where this situation's going to go. But if teams want to go call the Packers and try to make an offer, go ahead. I don't know that it's going to work. They continue to insist they're not going to trade him. But here we are with Aaron Rodgers not being happy with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Adam, every team, I mean, pick up your phone, just see what they might say, right? This is absolutely fascinating. Of course, we will continue to be on this. Adam Schefter with all the latest throughout the next couple of hours and throughout the evening on ESPN, of course.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Breaking news here today. Adam Schefter reporting that Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is disgruntled with the organization and has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to Green Bay. Ryan Clark joining us now on the show. Ryan, I'll just give you the floor here. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers finally making this known?
You know, at first I had to look at Shefty profile pic, because you ever know, like, you get those tweets and it says something really stupid, and then it'll look, you look at the profile and it's like not Adam Schefter, but you think it's him. Listen, this is crazy, but I think Aaron Rodgers has been leaning this way. He's been moving this way for a long time, and ever since the pick was made last year, you've been feeling like this. Like, I remember last year on draft night, I was sitting in my room over there, and I'm actually on a Zoom with Laura and Marcus and Dan, and y'all remember, I had on a white beater because I didn't even think it was real. And Aaron Rodgers, and I said, Aaron Rodgers is going to be miserable to deal with after the Jordan Love pick. And he wasn't. He was a great teammate. He had his best year, but he had something waiting on y'all. He was like, what is a catfish? I made y'all think I was going to be cool with this. I made y'all think that everything was going to move smoothly, but he wanted some things done his way, and they haven't been. And so now Aaron Rodgers does have the cachet like Marcus talked about. Aaron Rodgers does have the power, and he got the dough, right? Big bank take little bank. That's the reason players lose, because they can't sit home, because they can't sit out, because they're not the MVP, because they're not the baddest man in the world. Well, dude got all of that. Dude got options. And so now, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you got to start to make a decision. Is tonight the best night to deal Aaron Rodgers? Or do you want to be the people that do it? This is exciting to me. I don't even like draft like that. Everybody I talked to today, whether it was Ashley or Zach from Get Up, kept telling me, happy draft day. I was like, bro, I ain't Chris Morrison. I ain't Adam Schefter. Draft day, nothing to me. I like the first day of the season. But wait. Now it's different. Now, Aaron Rodgers like, the hell with cheese. I don't want free cheese no more. I ain't worried about Devontae no more.
He said,
it's about me. I'm trying to get to the West Coast. I cannot. Let's see what they gonna do, y'all.
Yay.
You know, Ryan, and the good thing is that Adam gave Ryan this gift so he could really enjoy draft day as much as the rest of us. Don't worry, everybody. Ryan's sticking around with us. We'll send him some free cheese in a minute. Here's the thing that I think is so interesting. We keep trying to talk about this. We threw out like maybe six or seven teams as we're hearing this news break with everybody else right at home. Mina, what is a good fit if Aaron Rodgers is really looking around the landscape and saying, here's where I'm going to go and I'm going to win a Super Bowl, or I'm going to be happy, or some combination combination of the two?
Well, he picked the two good ones in San Francisco and the Rams. Those would be the first two teams that would come to mind for me. Apparently, obviously, the Rams are out of the picture now. Apparently, San Francisco has already been rebuffed by Green Bay. Marcus made a great point that while San Francisco has the third overall pick, they don't have any other picks to offer
right.
Green Bay. And then, you know, Dan mentioned Miami as well. We were talking about New England during the break. That's an interesting fit, you know, because the offense is a bit different. But, like, if we're just thinking about teams that have the coaching, the talent, to me, that does make a lot of sense,
yeah.
I would say. Realistically, though, Laura, there aren't that many teams that I would put in that group, frankly, that are
New
as good
England
as Green Bay.
Did add a ton of weapons in yeah. free agency,
and
though.
And I think that if something from that we learned from the Tom Brady Buccaneers situation last year is, because when I heard Tom in Tampa last year, my immediate mind was, that's not a good fit. And then realize,
yeah,
like, you made it work.
Matter.
You know, so we don't have to necessarily tie him to scheme so much. I think Washington, I think New England is a good thing. My thought is this with Green Bay, though, because Green Bay can sit there and say, we're not interested in trading him. You guys made it your interest that you were moving on from Aaron Rodgers when you took Jordan Love.
Right.
You know, so it's like the whole Russell Wilson situation in Seattle, the question was always, who are they going to replace Russell Wilson with? Green Bay does not have to answer that question. They've already made that decision.
To that point, Dio, I don't get hung up on that, bro, because, listen, I'm with Mina on that. Like, and y'all have heard me say this. What did Green Bay need to do for Aaron Rodgers? Like, this is two NFC championships in the last 3 years, so it's already a good team that they surrounded him with. And people talked about the receiver, and obviously the draft picks are not ideal. But you also don't want to be that franchise that doesn't have a succession
right.
plan when Aaron Rodgers decides to hang it up, or if Aaron Rodgers say, I want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So at least they have a guy that's been in the building that hopefully they could work with. The other team I would add in there, though, is New Orleans, man.
Yes.
I'm telling y'all, bro. Yeah. They ready right now. Everything. Now, I don't know what they would have to give up, but you do
they
have.
They would have to give things up.
You know what I'm saying?
But the cap is real.
You do have Jameis. You do have Taysom. You do have a lot of guys and pieces on that team that may be enticing to the Green Bay
Packers. The most important thing that New Orleans has, that New England has, that Tom Brady got when he went to Tampa is protection.
Protection.
Yeah, that's
protection.
It.
And that is what Aaron Rodgers needs more than anything.
So here's a look at the numbers one more time, guys. And we're talking about some significant dead money here that the Packers have to take that hit. You can see how it does reduce over time. So, RC, let's bring you back in here. When you think about the Packers and from their standpoint, are they really willing to take this money hit? And maybe they don't actually have control, but you got to believe they've got at least some level of control here in trying not to lose a bunch of money here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to work to continue to build your team, right? They kept saying that's the reason you go and take Jordan Love. That's the pick you needed to make because you were planning for the future. It wasn't just about right now. Well, also taking this type of dead money hit would be about the future. It would be about what you could do to continue to build the team. And what Aaron Rodgers is saying is I don't care about any of that. I'm going to make a decision based on me, based on my career, and based on what I want. And I know Marcus was talking about what else could Green Bay have done? It's about, you know, it's not necessarily about winning a championship or putting him in the right position. This is personal, y'all. This is a total personal decision. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care what Green Bay has to do about dead money. Aaron Rodgers is about him.
Well,
and so that's why I think this is different than many other situations.
Yeah, correct. It's really interesting because let's live in a world where, yeah, it is personal, and the Packers still say we're standing pat where we are and we're not going to just give in to Aaron Rodgers' demands here. What does that look like? Let's say we are in a position where Aaron Rodgers is going to hold out. He's not going to play. But even going further down the road, Marcus, project that a little bit if the Packers try to say we're going to hold on to him and we're not giving in.
He'll be on the West Coast married. He'll be hosting Jeopardy, and he'll be watching Green Bay play football.
Oh, stop
Listen,
it.
Here's
he
the thing.
Do it. He is
here's
not doing that.
When we start talking about money, Green Bay drafting Jordan Love actually works for them a little bit in this situation because you do have a quarterback on the roster you ain't paying nothing to. And look, somebody in that organization felt like Jordan Love could develop to be their quarterback. Obviously, that's what we're talking about. So if we're talking about dead money and all of that stuff, you know, that's Mina's area, and I defer to her. But at least if he does walk, and you make a move, as much as people lamented about drafting this quarterback, you have one that hopefully you got confidence in.
That's my point. Yeah. They started preparing for the future last year. Like, that's my thing. And all Aaron is doing right now is bringing the future faster.
Right now.
That's all he's doing. Yep. Aaron's like, wait, you guys chose
anyway.
Yeah, you chose it last year. So I get it, Green Bay. I love Aaron. He's the MVP, all that stuff. But at some point, because, again, I'll go back to this point. It has happened for a couple months. They've flown people out there. The news gets broke today. I would take that as saying that the relationships right now, they don't seem like you can fix them, okay? And at some point, Green Bay sits there and goes, we chose the future. Aaron's bringing it to us now. Okay. We got to go move them. Because if I'm the Jets, hey, I'll give you my 2 1s this year. I'll give you my 2 1s next year. I'll give my 1 the following year. Give me Aaron Rodgers.
If Green Bay, I'm going to ask you to think like Tenet style here. I know multiple timelines. If Green Bay received that offer for the 3rd overall pick this time last year, setting aside finances, they probably take it because the reason they drafted Jordan Love was they wanted to prepare for the future.
Right.
And they were coming off of a relatively down season for Aaron Rodgers. They bet wrong.
Yeah.
We all agree that was the wrong decision.
The whole conversation is completely different if Aaron Rodgers just sort of repeats what he did the previous season to last year and kind of goes downhill. Instead, he comes out, guns a-blazing, and he ends up being the MVP, and that's all she wrote.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Chance of rain all day long here in Cleveland, but anticipation continues to build as you look at the stage for tonight, the 2021 NFL Draft, just a couple of hours away. And of course, we've got it covered for you right here on ESPN and ABC. Breaking news here on NFL Live as Adam Schefter broke this news earlier today,
talking about
the Packers and Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay. You saw Adam on the phone just right then. We'll get back to him in a moment. As soon as he gets off the phone, we'll see what he was talking about. But, guys, something that we were just thinking of, as you think about how this breaking news that happened today could affect the draft tonight, let's start with Atlanta. Are these teams now going to be thinking, I might need to get my quarterback of the future in case my current quarterback all of a sudden wants out? I know it's different situations, but could it change their mindsets tonight?
I think it creates a very fine line, a very good teaching point. Like, if you're Atlanta, you better be 100% ready that Matt Ryan wants out if you take a quarterback tonight. Because we've seen that. Like, we're watching it play itself out today. And so once you make that decision, you're all in on the young buck. You're anticipating that veteran quarterback's going to go, I don't want to be here anymore, okay? And so I do believe that you don't take that quarterback. Like, if I'm Atlanta tonight, I don't take a quarterback that I like.
Mm. Right.
I better take a cat, and I love him.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Again, if I don't love him, I'm losing someone else.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's a part of this as well. So I think it's a really good learning example for those football teams that are entertaining, that have older quarterbacks, entertaining. If I'm going to take one, you better know the consequences and the ramifications, the butterfly effect, so to speak, when you take a young kid.
I think there was a unique aspect, though, to what Green Bay did, which was Atlanta, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I'll just say it right now.
That's
sorry to crush
point.
Your dreams, Falcons fans, but you're not a wide receiver away or
that's
a linebacker away. In fact, your whole defense has holes across the depth chart. Green Bay, part of the reason I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers was so upset wasn't just that they took a quarterback at the end of the first round and then a running back in the second, which I will continue complaining about until the end of time, but that they didn't add playmakers on both sides of the ball that could help this team win now. Because, yes, they were coming off of the NFC Championship, and then they got back to the NFC Championship. Green Bay is a Super Bowl contender every year. And yet, they didn't draft like they were one. And I think other teams that we might compare them to around the NFL aren't in that same position.
But, Marcus, it starts to hurt your back. You have to stretch your legs out a little bit when you think about the fact that the last 9 picks for the Packers have been either defensive players or Jordan Love.
That's the part that drives me crazy, man. Because
is that enough, though, to drive you to the point of saying you've got to get out of there?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, yes, to that point, because he's watching everything that's transpiring in the league. One thing we got to say, we seeing a difference in player mentality.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
it's evolution happening. Like, we see this with, you know, Russ making his statements and Deshaun wanting out, and obviously now Aaron. But here's my point as well. The Green Bay Packers were Super Bowl contenders because of Aaron Rodgers.
Talk to him.
We could talk about the decisions that they've made, and they've drafted okay to the point of having a team that could be competitive. But without that dude, I remember Kaiser coming in against the Chicago Bears. I remember that. Like, so it's Aaron Rodgers saying, I want to leave Green Bay. It's way beyond anything football.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is, because he's been the catalyst for the success.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think that this is just a singular moment. We were just talking in the break. The last 9 first-round picks for the Packers, 8 defensive guys, and then the guy that they drafted to replace Aaron Rodgers. And so this is kind of a matriculation of feelings. You know, we had a conversation in February on NFL Live about just the craziness of the offseason when Adam Schefter said there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement. And I remember having the conversation of daring general managers. Like, if you were ever going to be a general manager to go be courageous or show some guts to go make some moves, it was going to be this one.
Yep.
And after this news, an hour after processing it, my brain goes to that. Like, what general manager and organization in the NFL is going to go make some gutsy moves tonight?
So
like,
who?
If I'm Carolina, I'm not getting off the phone. Like, I'm not.
And
if I'm Washington,
right,
I'm not getting off the phone.
Yep.
If I'm Chicago,
Chicago's interesting.
It's going to take courage, and it's going to take some risk. You got to go be Kevin Costner on draft day. Like, you got to go roll your dice, so to speak, and take your shot.
Man, Dan. So the thing is, Mina, I realize why that would be the play, right? But if we're over here saying that Aaron Rodgers has so much power here, is it really on the Packers to be receiving all these calls and saying, yeah, this one works for us, but then Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, okay, fine, I'm going to go to some team that I didn't dictate going to? Like, that part of it is hard for me to process.
Right, and we're all talking about this happening in one night. Like, the team finding a team, and also Aaron Rodgers is okay with it, and it all works out, and we've got a night, and they already turned down pick overall.
It'd be a great night.
Overall. I mean, I don't know, guys. I just don't know if it happens, largely because I still don't know if I believe Aaron Rodgers is actually going to hold out. But I just want to push back on some of the Packers criticism a little bit, and I've been as critical of that last draft as anyone, and hindsight is 20/20, but the notion that they made a mistake by only picking defensive players, you know, if they had a better cornerback opposite Jair Alexander, maybe they're in the Super Bowl. I don't think
it's a mistake. I think at some point quarterbacks sit back and go, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to give me a guy on the outside?
And they found a steal in Davante Adams, who's one of the top 3 wide receivers in the NFL. They found a steal in Robert Tonyan. They just re-signed Aaron Jones to a big extension. They have one of the 3 best offensive lines in football. That's what we're doing to help you.
I'm not mad at Green Bay for what they drafted.
It's not a dump on Green Bay session when it comes to how they've built their organization. They've obviously
done a good job. We ain't dumping on Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is.
Right.
It ain't us.
Hey, on that note.
We're talking about what he said.
On that note, Adam Schefter's off the phone now, I'm told. So, Adam, let's get back to you and add more to all of this. What more do you want to say about what's going on with the breaking news around Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Look, I know some people are making this out to be a contract issue because the Packers have offered Aaron Rodgers an extension. But this is not just a contract issue. This is about far more than a new contract. Because if Aaron Rodgers wanted a new contract from Green Bay, he would have taken the offer that they've made to him during the course of these talks that have gone on during the offseason. This is about way more than a contract. This is about Aaron Rodgers not being happy in Green Bay. This is about Aaron Rodgers telling other people he doesn't want to nor plan to go back there again. Now, the Green Bay Packers have their own stance, and we have a quote from the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, who a short time ago said basically that the Packers are not interested in trading. If we could call up his quote right here and throw it up on the board, It's a situation where he said Aaron Rodgers is a part of that organization, is going to stay a part of that organization. As we've stated since the season ended, we are committed to Aaron in 2021 and beyond. Aaron has been a vital part of our success, and we look forward to competing for another championship with him leading our team. And so other teams have reached out to gauge whether the Packers would be interested in trading him, and to date, the answer has been no. But this is a situation that is explosive, that is unpredictable, that nobody knows where it's going to go. Could Aaron Rodgers decide to withhold his services from the Packers? Could he not show up there? Would they then have to turn over Jordan Love? Would they be better off moving on from a player who is as disgruntled as Aaron Rodgers is right now? And this is an issue that's been bubbling and percolating beneath the surface all offseason long, to the point, as we mentioned, that the Packers president, Mark Murphy, flew out from Green Bay out west to meet with Aaron Rodgers. And then the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, flew out west to meet with Aaron Rodgers. And then the head coach, Matt LaFleur, flew out west to meet with Aaron Rodgers. So each of the Packers' main decision makers, the main men of that organization, each took their turn flying out to visit with him to try to change his mind. And so far, he hasn't budged. He hasn't been a part of the virtual offseason program that began on April 19th. And I know some people will say, well, a lot of veterans don't show up, and that's true. But this veteran is feeling a certain way that other veterans do not right now. And then we go back to the draft 1 year ago when the Green Bay Packers traded up to draft a quarterback. And not only did they trade up to draft the man to replace Aaron Rodgers, but they didn't tell him before. And I think that he was privately offended by that very notion that he would not be included, that he would not get a heads up. We're going to draft a quarterback here in the first round. And if we're looking for context of the big picture, the only time in NFL history that someone has won the MVP and not played for that team the next year was Norm Van Brocklin in 1960 and Jim Brown in 1965. So this is almost an unprecedented situation. Both of those players retired. Neither one was traded. We've never in NFL history ever seen someone win the NFL MVP and be traded the next offseason. And by the way, the Green Bay Packers to date, and I say to date because you never know if they're going to change their mind,
right,
have refused to adjust their thinking and have held firm to the conviction that we are committed to Aaron Rodgers and he's going to be the quarterback here and we're marching forward with him as our quarterback. And so right now, I would say the situation is at a major standstill. Nobody knows how it's going to go. If Aaron Rodgers decided to withhold his services, he would owe the Green Bay Packers money on his contract. So there's that issue. Then would another team step in? And by the way, when all the teams hear this news, will they then make a call to the Green Bay Packers and say, what would it take to get Aaron Rodgers to our city on the eve of this draft that's about to get underway tonight, 8 o'clock, ESPN, ABC, where five quarterbacks are supposed to go in the first round.
Yo, this dude's the best.
Yeah, don't worry, Adam. We will be talking about those quarterbacks that are supposed to be in the first round. A lot of fascination around that top five. Adam Schefter, best in the business. Dan, you were itching to get in as Adam was talking.
When he talks, I try to pay attention. Number one, he said multiple people have gone out there. That hasn't fixed it. Number two, they've gave him a contract extension offer. He doesn't want that. Three, he said he has no plans in going back. So my thought goes, what and how does Green Bay then fix it? What is left to do? Like, what?
Look, man, y'all know me. When a player turned down money, he done.
Thank you.
All that other stuff flying out.
He hasn't yet. I just want to put that out there.
He said no to the extension.
He said no to the extension.
Oh, you mean to an extension. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant giving back money for sitting out. Right.
What and how can Green Bay fix it?
Bro, the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers just said he don't want to be in Green Bay no more. That's all we need to know.
That is the breaking news that we got today from Adam Schefter on the night of round one of the NFL draft.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on NFL Live with breaking news today. Adam Schefter reporting that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are at a standstill of sorts, as Aaron Rodgers has said he's disgruntled with the team and has told some people in the organization that he's not returning to Green Bay. So no quarterback in NFL history has balanced production with limiting risk as well as Aaron Rodgers. In fact, Rodgers holds the best touchdown to interception ratio in NFL history. You can see just how far ahead he is next to the other two guys on the list. He's not slowing down, as he just threw 48 touchdowns to 5 interceptions last season en route to league MVP. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes not on that list because he doesn't have enough games played, but Rodgers could end up putting him in his rearview mirror. Adam Schefter back in a few with more on that. Let's get into some draft goals brought to you by NerdWallet. And for that, we welcome in some team reporters from the 7-8-9 picks in the draft tonight. A really interesting portion of the draft. We begin with Dan Graziano, and he's got all the latest on the Lions and their plans. Dan, you start us off.
Yeah, Laura, I can tell you they won't be trading for Aaron Rodgers. The Packers aren't going to trade him in the division and play him twice a year. So the Lions are out on that. They're picking at number 7. They like the group of players that they believe will be available to them there. They've gotten calls today and in the past couple of days about from teams wanting to come up, but they're demanding a lot because they don't want to move too far back and because they really like the players they might be able to get if they stay at 7. They actually had a conversation with the Falcons about possibly moving up to 4 to get Ja'Marr Chase before the Bengals take him at 5. So they're thinking about receivers, maybe one of the Alabama guys, maybe one of the tackles. And if they do trade down, watch out for Micah Parsons or Jalen Phillips, two guys they like that could help their defense. Lions need a lot. Kimberly Martin, what do you got on the Carolina Panthers?
Thanks, Dan. Look, I'm told Carolina Panthers head coach Matt Rhule wants to accumulate more draft picks. So keep an eye on a trade back. The question, though, is will they trade back at 8? Because at that point, depends if there's a quarterback that they like. If a quarterback falls, like Justin Fields, who I'm told his floor is 8. So if he's there, what does Carolina do then? Or if they decide we don't need a QB, we're set with Sam Darnold, then I'm hearing offensive tackle or Rashawn Slater if he's there, or they go with one of the top corners in this draft. Now, here's Ed on the Broncos.
Well, Kimberly, Broncos general manager George Payton believes acquiring veteran Teddy Bridgewater alleviates some of the pressure he might have otherwise felt tonight to trade up from the 9th pick to secure one of the top 5 quarterbacks. But he still hasn't ruled out doing exactly that, depending upon several factors. Specifically, how far a move would be required, the compensation he'd be expected to pay, and where the quarterback stack compared to the rest of the draft board. The Broncos like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, and there would be minimal pressure on either of them to start as rookies with the Broncos since they have Bridgewater and Drew Lock. But of course, we should wrap Aaron Rodgers into this. And here's how I'm going to do that, Laura. We should keep in mind that the Broncos do fit Aaron Rodgers. They could certainly use Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterback. And it's interesting to note that George Payton, well, before he came to the Broncos, he was in the front office of the Minnesota Vikings, who traded for Hall of Fame Packers quarterback Brett Favre, and then went to the 2009 NFC Championship game. He understands the value of that kind of quarterback.
Excellent points by Ed Werder, Kimberly Martin, and Dan Graziano joining us here on the show. And listen, I don't know if this Packers fan heard what Ed just had to say there, but the Broncos, yeah, listen, the Packers fans out here, I'm so sorry. It was really a nice day for them, and then all of a sudden, all this happened. We'll see what happens, right? We don't know what's going to go down with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers yet, as Adam Schefter has reported a standstill potentially for them going forward. But Dan, let's talk about the quarterbacks tonight, and it all wraps in together, right? You've watched so much tape of these top 5 quarterbacks, and something's really stuck out to you about them when you think about how they'll translate to the next level. Yeah. What is that?
Well, I've talked about the big thing this offseason is figuring out for these young players what their flaw is, identifying it, and then seeing if you can fix it and if it's something that your coaches can coach out of guys. And with Justin Fields, I believe there's a mechanical flaw when it
separates him from those other four out of the five top quarterbacks. Now, everyone pay attention to the motion of the throw and the placement of where the ball and elbow are. Now, Trevor Lawrence, watch that motion, okay? Looks like a candy cane or a C. Now, they should all look like that. Now, look at the timing it takes. Half a second, all right? That's Trevor Lawrence. Now, we can go to Zach Wilson. His is going to look very similar. Again, pay attention to the tracer. What's it look like? It looks just like Trevor Lawrence's. It's a little bit of a C, okay? That candy cane shape. Now, we can put a clock on Zach Wilson's to see how long it takes to start motion, get the ball out of my hands. This matters in the NFL. What's he at? All right, 0.4 seconds. That tenth of a second is a big difference. Big fella, Marcus, you know that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now we can go to Trey Lance. What does Trey Lance's look like? Again, motion, there's that tracer motion. A little bit more longer, right, but it's still in that C. It's in that candy cane shape. Mm-hmm. We'll put a clock on him to see how long it takes. Motion, ball out of my hands, 0.6 seconds. We're getting a little bit longer, but it's still 0.6 seconds, okay? Now we can go to Mac Jones. Again, watch the tracer. See the motion of that throwing. There you go. Candy cane. Those all four look the same. Now, I wonder what Mac Jones's time is going to be. Mac Jones, that candy cane shape, that C against the wall, is going to be about half a second. Look at the clock. Now, watch. Okay, so all four of those cats all look the same. About half a second, and it's that candy cane shape. Now we're going to go to Justin Fields. He's going to be the one that looks different. Now I want everyone to pay attention to the elbow and the ball. Now watch these. Look at the motion, right? You see, that's totally different. That looks like there's a wire bent all over the place. There's a drop down and a loop. Now when we look at that ball, when we look at that motion and we put a clock on it, look at the difference between this one and the other four. That's 0.8 seconds. That's double the time of Zach Wilson. It's 0.3 of a second longer than it was for Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence or even Trey Lance. Now look at them all together. Watch the tracers. You tell me which one looks different. 1, 2, 3, 4 on the left, all are the same. And then Justin Fields is different. And the big thing is, the ball, right? The ball gets under his elbow. Now, you're going to find clips where all those guys dropping the elbow down, but the ball gets under his elbow. Even Phillip Rivers, when he was down here, the ball went on top of the elbow. And I think that is a mechanical issue with Justin that teams have identified and said, we don't like that because it takes longer to get out. And that's why when I said Justin Fields plays deliberate, I mean that mechanically is why he's deliberate. And teams got to figure out if they can live with that or if they can fix it.
Paperwork. And I agree. That's why I love watching you break these things down. But I wanted to call the people's attention, because we always talk about the athleticism with these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And we don't do it from a defensive perspective. We always just say the quarterback is mobile, so he's better. But the bottom line is this. I'm going to give y'all some numbers. Yes, I'm reading on TV.
Let's go.
Tom Brady under pressure. QBR, 30th. Completion percentage, 32nd. TD to INT ratio, 0 to 5.
Okay.
That's touchdown to interception ratio. Kirk Cousins, I'm using guys that are pocket guys that can really maneuver in the pocket. His rank, 24th, QBR 15, completion percentage 47%, 17th. TDINT tied for 23rd. Let me go to mobile guys. Obviously, let's talk about the unicorn. Mahomes, QBR 73, first in the league against pressure. Completion percentage still 43%. Here's the key. Touchdown to interception ratio, 10 to 2.
Right.
Because I'm using my legs. You brought up the play in the Super Bowl down the field. Lamar Jackson, QBR under pressure, 6, 55. Completion percentage, 53, 8th in the league. TD to INT, 5 to 2 TDs. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, 6 to 1 TD to interception ratio. We not just throwing athleticism out there like it's something that doesn't make a difference.
Sure.
This league is built now defensively with long-rangey, fast guys. It's no longer 330 at D-tackle, plugging gaps for runs. It's Aaron Donald at 260 that can close in 0.8 of a second. That's why we put so much onus on guys being able to overcome some of those flaws. That's why I've been big on Justin Fields.
I know. And Mina, the thing I struggle with is, I'm not some sort of mechanical expert here, but if it works for Fields and it's so accurate, then why can't it be something that works for NFL teams? You're higher on Fields still than Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, the ball may look a little funny coming out, but it gets where it needs to go when Justin Fields throws it. Here's why his athleticism matters so much to me, as well as his accuracy and his arm strength. I have been dead wrong about two quarterbacks over the last few years. Josh Allen, many people were wrong about him, and Justin Herbert.
I looked at them in college and I thought, the production's not really there. The completion percentage.
Sure.
Justin Fields' production is way better than those two quarterbacks. I didn't see it. The lesson I have learned from those mistakes is you bet on traits. Yeah. Those quarterbacks had incredible athleticism, incredible arms. When I look at Justin Fields, incredible athlete, incredible arm. The rest will figure itself out, man. I'm not going to bet against traits and bet on production again.
Back here in Cleveland on NFL Live, the breaking news of the day from Adam Schefter that Aaron Rodgers is disgruntled, wants out of Green Bay. Adam, you've had so many interesting pieces in this, but I want to go back to the one that really sticks out, the timeline here. What can you add to what may happen, as we really don't know how long this sort of standoff between both sides can last?
And you wonder if this will impact the Green Bay Packers' decision going forward, because up until now, Laura, the Green Bay Packers were steadfast in their commitment to Aaron Rodgers and unwilling to trade him. They have had conversations with various teams at some point during the offseason. They spoke to the Rams back in January. The 49ers called last night. But I am told today that no team has made an offer for Aaron Rodgers. Now, I would think that that may change this evening. I may think that there may be a team or two out there that decides to take a run at the reigning MVP that the Green Bay Packers have been adamant that they will not trade, because this right now is an old-fashioned standoff, and they have tried to placate Aaron Rodgers in any number of ways, and he has not budged so far. Now, he could change his mind. Football season could be approaching. The weather could be getting warm, and he could say, I've got the itch to go back to Green Bay to try to get the Packers back to the Super Bowl, to try to win another MVP. But it doesn't feel like it's going that way at all. It feels like he is stuck in his feelings of not wanting to be back in Green Bay. There are people within the organization who have been aware of his feelings for quite some time, and no matter what the Green Bay Packers have tried, it has not helped the situation. And so the Green Bay Packers have to think there are two different paths. There's the path that Aaron Rodgers does decide to come back, but what if he doesn't? What if he is dead set, stuck in, refusing to come back to Green Bay? What do you do if you're the Green Bay Packers? Do you try to trade the reigning MVP tonight? Or do you hold on to him with the hope that he will come back? And what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't at that point in time? Then you have to turn your team over to the man that you traded up to draft last year, Jordan Love. And is he ready to take on the season if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up? Now, again, we're getting carried away, but there is a standoff here, and we don't know how this is going to end.
Adam, it's hard not to get carried away. We've been on so many winding paths today, thanks to you and this breaking news. Thanks so much, Adam. And, you know, let's bring Ryan Clark in here, because I think, Ryan, Adam just asked a question that really is the most interesting question, at least for tonight. Do you try, if you're some team that thinks you can get Aaron Rodgers, make a really aggressive offer and try to get him tonight? And if you're the Packers, do you trade Aaron Rodgers tonight? Do you say this is the opportunity because we may be able to get more capital in a night like tonight than we'd be able to get down the road?
I mean, if you're a team that is not even quarterback needy, if you just quarterback wanty, you try to get Aaron Rodgers. If you just think that your guy ain't Aaron Rodgers, which if he ain't Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, he ain't Aaron Rodgers, you try. You send out a smoke signal, you shoot a flare in the air, you hit him with a you up text, you do whatever you got to do to at least get a conversation started. Adam Schefter said something that I found not necessarily funny, but interesting. He said that the Green Bay Packers have been steadfast in their commitment to Aaron Rodgers, and I say July, because they haven't. They weren't steadfast in their commitment to Aaron Rodgers when they got Jordan Love. They weren't steadfast in their commitment in the second round when they drafted a quarterback, as our wonderful colleague Mina Kimes has said. So, no, they weren't steadfast in their commitment. You know what they're doing? They're steadfast in, no matter how I treat you, I still ain't gonna let you go. You can get mad. I cannot take you to dinner. I cannot treat you the way that you want to be treated, but guess what? You ain't leaving this house. That's what they're doing, Aaron Rodgers. Because if you really wanted him to stay, if this was the quarterback you really saw in your future, you wouldn't draft another quarterback and you'd give him an extension. You haven't done that. Your actions have put you in this place, Green Bay, and I hope he never plays for him again. That's the story we need to tell.
Man, and that, listen, it's such a conundrum because if you think that drafting Jordan Love was the catalyst that got this whole thing going and made Aaron Rodgers disgruntled, then, yeah, they shouldn't have done it. But if it was going to happen anyway, then now they've got the backup plan that they needed to have. So it is hard to sort of figure out where you net out
it's
here.
It's not hard.
I know, but let's table that for a second.
Okay,
it's not Mina, hard.
Mina, let's talk about some teams that we haven't talked about yet. If we're going to say that Aaron Rodgers is going to go and find another team and they're going to make it work with the Packers, what about the Raiders? What about the Broncos?
The Broncos, you have my attention.
Correct.
Packers fans, earmuffs. And I actually think Denver is a destination that might work for both sides in this disgruntled marriage. First of all, from Rodgers' perspective, I have been saying all offseason, Denver is a quarterback away from contending. On defense, you got Von Miller coming back, Bradley Chubb, you signed Kyle Fuller, Justin Simmons, and of course, Vic Fangio is brilliant. On offense, that is a nice group of weapons. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, and a decent Hamler. Offensive line. They brought Mike Munchak from the Steelers. He's made them a lot better. I would like that if I'm Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay's perspective. You get him out of the NFC, so he's not going to make your life miserable.
Yep.
And they got that 9 pick. You know what Green Bay could do with that 9 pick tonight? I kind of like it for both sides. Dan?
I think this. Last year, the Green Bay Packers chose the future, and all Aaron Rodgers is doing is expediting that process. He is bringing the future to right now tonight, and it's on you, Green Bay.
We can talk about how mad they are.
Go ahead.
Thank God they did draft Jordan Love.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it gets hard to sift through all of it. We're back here in Cleveland, and we have got you covered for this NFL draft. The coverage continues on ESPN when we finish up at 5 Eastern. Catch Reese Davis and the Game Day crew for 2 hours of coverage before draft countdown takeover, leading right up to the first pick of the 2021 NFL draft at 8 Eastern. Full coverage of the draft available on ABC and NFL Network as well. Let's check in on some team reports, some teams that have some really tough decisions to make tonight. We've got Dan Graziano covering the 49ers. You got Diana Rossini covering the Falcons, Mike Reese with the Patriots. So let's start with you, Graz, and the plan here with San Francisco at 3, because that's where I believe the entire draft starts. What can you tell us?
I think you're absolutely right, Laura. And within about 4 hours from now, we'll finally know who the 49ers are picking at number 3 for quarterback. And a lot of people wonder, like, how could they trade up to 3 without knowing which guy they were going to take? Consider this. That trade gave the 49ers a lot of control over the situation. They were able to direct workouts for Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Would have been a lot harder to get those guys to do exactly what they wanted them to do in the pre-draft process if they had stayed at 12. So they're getting the most informed decision they possibly could. I would like to be more informed about the NFC South. Diana Rossini?
Hi, Dan. Yeah, so the Atlanta Falcons sit at 4 right now. And GM Terry Fontenot has been taking calls from many GMs around the league looking to trade up into their spot. But I was told by one team that the Falcons are charging the stars, the moons, and perhaps a couple planets in there. So it's going to be tough to get in there. So I was told the Falcons are very comfortable sitting at 4 and taking the best player on the board. Meantime, they have their opponent in their division, the New Orleans Saints, trying to do everything they can to try to get into the top 10. I was told, as of now, they are not having any luck, as I was also told that they're trying to get in, not to get a quarterback, but another position. Now let's send over to Mike Reese. Mike, what's going on in New England?
Well, Diana, you got the Patriots at 15 looking for their quarterback of the future, and they know a lot of this is outside of their control. The 49ers at number 3, a key pivot point for the Patriots. Which quarterback do the 49ers take? So the Patriots, a team staffer tells me, you might love a guy, but he might not be there. If he's there, then you consider moving up to take him. They've also spent a lot of time on the second tier of quarterbacks in this draft, where they've had a lot of success in the past. Laura, coming back to you, holding it down in Cleveland.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, they were at Kyle Trask Pro Day, just to name a few there. All right, so you heard the report from Diana Russini about the Falcons. Matt Miller, our ESPN draft analyst, joining us here. And Matt, I want to get a DraftKings draft prediction from you. Let's start with Atlanta and that decision at four. Who will be the fourth pick? Will it be Justin Fields, Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, Trey Lance, Ja'Marr Chase, or any other player? Matt, what do you think?
Laura, I know Kyle Pitts said he thinks four quarterbacks are going to go to the top four tonight, but I think Kyle will be going to Atlanta, where he's going to open up this offense for the Falcons with a new head coach in Arthur Smith, who was great with Jonnu Smith, his tight end, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. So Kyle Pitts joining Matt Ryan, joining Julio Jones, at least for now. As that offense really ramps up, they have a small window here, 2 years left of Matt Ryan's contract, where they can make some noise in an NFC South that is very uncertain right now with age and retirement. So the Falcons get the best non-quarterback in the draft tonight with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, you got to think, with so many people saying that Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft, if you got a chance to take him, you don't want to pass on him if you can have that opportunity. We had a Swaggoo chant going on with our crowd here. News of the day with Adam Schefter. Let's get Adam in here one more time. Adam, what more can you tell us about Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay?
Laura, we knew there would be quarterback storylines tonight. We just didn't know that they would also involve the Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who's told some members of that organization that he does not want to go back to Green Bay. There's a stalemate between the two sides. The Packers have met with him at various points throughout the offseason. They've offered to extend his contract. It's not about a contract. It's about way more than that. It goes back to the draft last year. The Packers have been approached by other teams, but no team has made an offer yet for Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers have been steadfast that they're not willing to trade him. But there's an ongoing issue, an ongoing situation in Green Bay, and we'll see how the Packers ultimately decide to handle that, Laura.
Adam with a Schefty bomb to start the day out for us today, and the fog descending on Adam behind him there in Cleveland, maybe indicative of what's going to happen tonight.
But Schefty had to do it.
Yeah, he did. Come on. Mina, when you think about how this Aaron Rodgers news factors into everything tonight, what comes to mind?
Okay, first thing that comes to mind is this has been a long time coming. As we've said, it's happened ever since the Jordan Love draft pick was made, and Aaron Rodgers is right to be miffed. Speaking of Jordan Love, that's where my man goes now, because somewhere, I don't know where he spends the offseason, Jordan Love just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, like, wait, what?
Looked at his phone and went... he's got to be prepared for a world where not only is he the starter, he's the starter on a playoff team.
No doubt.
And that is a lot of pressure on that young man's shoulders.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. I think that once a player makes a determination that the relationship is not repairable, because at the end of the day, especially when you get to Aaron Rodgers' career length and age, it's about relationships. And when the relationship you determine is not repairable, you make it known to your organization, I don't want to be there anymore. Now, again, I make this point. The organization made the choice last year to start preparing for the future. The future is now. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And that's why I think he is done in Green Bay. And if I'm the Broncos, if I'm the Raiders, if I'm the Panthers, if I'm the Washington football team, I'm calling and going, what does it cost? Now, maybe the East Coast isn't an option. So Denver, that gives you an advantage. The Raiders, it gives you an advantage. And at the end of the day, the Packers are going to have to make a determination of what and how can they fix it. Because they've sent people out to Aaron, that wasn't enough. They gave him a contract extension offer, that wasn't enough. And the Jeopardy thing is a real thing. Like, to me, the Jeopardy thing is a real thing. To know that you can go do some. Aaron Rodgers is not just a football player. I was just a football player, right? Like, he's got other things he can do.
Dan, you're much more than a football player.
No, but he's got other options, okay?
Marcus.
That's a real thing. And so they've got to determine what else and how else can they fix it. And if not, it's time.
It's crazy to me. Like y'all, think about the timing, right? Like, when are teams most active during the football season?
Yep.
Right now.
Correct.
And this comes out. Like, if Schefter breaks it, its movement is supposed to happen. That's what we see when Adam Schefter reports something about a move like this in the NFL. It is not coincidental. that Aaron Rodgers' camp decided to announce this today. It's not coincidental that Aaron Rodgers wants to get out of Green Bay, not only because of the Jordan Love move, but because he sees guys that he's been in this league with, teams making adjustments to make sure that they are in a great situation. The dude, 37 years old, the clock is ticking. He has one Super Bowl. He does not want to be talked about like Drew Brees. He got to go try to find him another one. And I think that plays into his mindset as well.
Here's what's so fascinating. When you think about Packers quarterbacks, the number is 16. Bart Starr, 16 years.
Brett Favre,
16 years. Aaron Rodgers, 16 years. Unless he gets one more. I mean, how weird is that?
He ain't getting 17. I think he's done.
Peace.
And if I'm the Broncos, I don't hang up.
Everybody may be on the call right now. They may be the Packers may be answering these phone
calls.
We'll find out because we are just getting closer and closer to the NFL draft.
Shout
and we're
going
to find out who ends up going in the first round tonight. We'll be back on NFL Live tomorrow for another 2 hours special.
Yo, this crowd will be killing it right here from 3 to 5.
This crowd's amazing. Following us right here is College Game Day. Then we'll have Nick Saban on the show. They've got Ryan Day.